Well, happy Wednesday, one and all. How grateful I am to see each of you here. Haven't we been blessed with some incredible weather? Days are getting shorter. The temperature is getting cooler. Some of us are getting larger. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you about momentum factors. How to overcome obstacles to move forward. There are times in our life when we begin to experience God moving, speaking to us. Inevitably, when that happens, there's usually resistance that will rise up against us. Some type of obstacle will present itself. The faith we're called to exercise will be called into question. And so with that in mind tonight, I just want to build this message around four words. And I'm going to share some scripture with you. And as a result of being here tonight, hopefully we'll better understand how to maintain our momentum when we're in these seasons, not to become derailed or distracted or discouraged, but to be able to gain ground instead of give up ground. That's what we're called to, right? I'm working on a series at home right now that I feel like I'll be beginning fairly soon, called The Dominion Revelation, and we'll be on that for several weeks. And the goal of that series is going to be to awaken us all to a greater understanding of what it means to live in the dominion that God has decreed over us as the inhabitants of this planet. And particularly now, as those who are restored in new covenant through Jesus Christ, what that means for us, what that looks like. So we'll be laying some theological foundations, but it'll be a lot of practical application, because we must, it is incumbent upon us during this day in which we're living to know how to utilize correctly our authority and to have a conqueror's heart beating in our chest. So very, very important. So, but tonight, this is just a message the Lord dropped in my heart the last few days that I wanted to pass on to you. So Holy Spirit, be our teacher now. Father, I pray that you would open your word to us. And with the psalmist, I would pray, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read several scriptures so you can jot down the references. If you're real fast, you can look them up. 1 John 5, 3 and following. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Okay, you receive that. Now, Galatians 6, 9. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do you receive that? 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and following. But thanks be to God. This is after he's elaborated on the power of Christ's resurrection. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You notice that? He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in light of that, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Now, one thing that scripture for sure is saying to us, we don't back up. We're to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Do you feel the momentum in that scripture? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When Mickey and I first married, we lived in my neck of the woods. Y'all do know what neck of the woods means, don't you? I thought I'd be in safe company tonight. And attended the church that I grew up in. And then about a year later, long story, but I'm thumbnailing. We moved to her neck of the woods. And I went to work where her dad worked. Her brother also was hired on not long thereafter. But here's the part of the story I want to share with you. For 5.5 years, we rode to work together. Her dad, her brother, and I did. He had a little yellow 1978 Toyota pickup, long wheelbase. But three grown men in that little cab. So it's like we're in a sardine can. And her dad, he had to always drive. We wanted to get there at least 30 minutes before work time. So we were leaving 5:30 or so to go to Decatur from where we lived. I had to deal with Tara every morning on the way to work. Because not far from where we lived, about 2 miles, was the top of the mountain. And we dropped off that mountain. Going down into the valley toward Danville. Some of you will know where I'm talking about. And it was a really steep, long, winding hill with a real sharp curve in it. You'd had to know her dad. His nickname was Bone. But he loved to aggravate and razz people. We're in that little Toyota pickup. And he's going to go as fast as he can and make these curves. We get to the top of the mountain. At that point, his brain lost all, any vestige of any memory what a brake was in that truck. And we would fly down that hill and go around that curve. We would be like this. And some mornings I'd almost just like affirmed that two wheels were coming off the pavement every morning. And for the first month, please slow down. Tap the brake. And this was his reasoning. I'm not going to ruin my brakes and waste this gas. Every morning. No, I'm not going to ruin my brakes or waste this gas. So we went flying down the mountain. And oh, Lord. The Lord had to have been with us when we drove to the work with snow and ice on the road. You can imagine what that was like. But every morning I was terrified. But his way of thinking was he wasn't going to lose momentum no matter what it cost him. He put our lives to risk each and every morning, sunny morning, foggy morning, raining morning, icy morning, it mattered not. Here we went flying off that mountain. I'm able to preach the gospel today just because of the angels of the Lord keeping that little Toyota truck on the road. So, I wanted to humorously set you up to think about not losing momentum in your life. The enemy definitely wants you to hit the brakes, right? He definitely wants you to waste your energy and run you off the road if you can. Four words. First, let me talk about faith. That scripture we read, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Referencing the keeping of the commandments. When we obey God, when we live according to the word, we're expressing our faith. We're saying we believe what God says more than what anybody else says, what the world says, and so forth. Faith is necessary not only to keep momentum, but to gain momentum. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want the wind of the Spirit filling the sails of your life and moving you forward, then you're called to live a life of faith. The Lord frowns upon doubt and unbelief so strongly that the Word of God tells us that we might as well just realize we're not going to receive anything from the Lord if we're in doubt and unbelief. That's how much He prioritizes faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is story after story of men who were called to task. If you're going to live the Christian life, there's going to be days, there's going to be seasons, it seems like, when you are called to the line of decision. Are you going to believe God or are you not going to believe God? And we're called to live a life of faith. Think of what believers in Afghanistan are having to go through right now. You know, we're greatly persecuted when someone just maybe doesn't say hello. And they're having to live with the constant threat of the Taliban breathing down their neck, hunting for them, seeking them out to destroy them. The goal would be to eliminate Christians from the face of the earth. Imagine what they're going through right now. Father God, we just pray for our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan right now. Lord, we think about it and preach about it. We can only imagine what it's like for them. But yet we know that in their place of faith, where they're standing right now, that you're giving grace and you're giving peace and you're giving wisdom. We ask, Lord, that revelation would be given them, not to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That revelation would be given them, Lord, to know what scriptures to declare, to know what to say, what not to say, what to do and what not to do, Lord. In these treacherous days in which they're living, we ask that your angels would surround them and protect them, that you would bless them, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We see mountains move. Mountain can be a huge obstacle. But Jesus said if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, the mountain will move, right? So over and over again, I'm preaching to the Wednesday night folks here. You know the scriptures. We are called to be a people of faith, not just head knowledge, but a faith that expresses itself in active ways. So, your faith. Noah, build an ark. Abraham, leave this place you've always lived, move away from these people you've always known, and go to a place, and by the way, I'm not even going to tell you where it is till you get there. And yet, he's called the father of the faith, historically. And on through the scriptures, you see people measuring their life by a moment of faith. Like you did when you said yes to Christ. You said no to everything that came before. You said no to the way you were living your life. When you said yes to Jesus, it was a moment of faith. Where so life-changing that the scripture describes it as being made into a new creation. That's the power of a moment of faith. And the Lord positions us and moves in our lives. Sometimes circumstances confront us. We're in the middle of situations. And yet faith is required for us to do what God is leading us to do. Sometimes that's divinely set up. And in the middle of God divinely setting up things, the enemy's laying his traps and landmines and hiding his sticks of dynamite and so forth. All of that's going on simultaneously. And in the middle of that, we will be tested to doubt, to give up. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We read it. We will go through those times when we want to doubt or become discouraged and are distracted in some ways. So not only is our faith part of living a life of momentum and overcoming the obstacles so that we can continue to move forward, but not only our faith, but our focus. You see, once the Lord speaks to us, and we're of the stream of the body of Christ, we believe in visions and dreams and words of knowledge and prophecies and so forth, and all of that has got to square with the written word. It rests on the written word. That's our standard. But we believe we live that our lives this way, being led by the Holy Spirit. So you understand what I'm saying when we get a word from the Lord about maybe we're praying about something or we're sensing a direction about a situation. Think more singularly, because our life, day in and day out, there are single momentary things where we're having to express our faith and decide what the Lord wants us to do. Many times throughout the day, some are really big decisions that come along, but a lot of times it's everyday things that we need to train ourselves to do in light of what the Scripture says, how the Holy Spirit's leading, and so forth. And I wanted to encourage you tonight, because I know when this is happening in my life or yours, that the temptation is going to come to lose focus on what God has said. So many ways you can look at this. Paul told Timothy, don't forget those prophetic words spoken over your life, because you do warfare with those. What's he saying? You can lose focus of what God says he wants to do in your life if you're not careful. So remember that prophetic word and use it to war. For what? For your future. For your destiny. To be obedient. To see God's purposes come forth. All of that's involved in it. So not only our faith, but our focus is very, very important. So there has to be a level of commitment once you've heard the Lord speak to you, to stay on it, to stay focused, to stick with it. And in the world in which we're living, the fast food culture, we live by sound bites, our brains are trained by television to every 12 seconds the scenery needs to shift, or we get bored. That's the kind of day we're living in, and more than ever, we need to know how to zone in, to drill down, and stay with what the Holy Spirit's saying. Things can become so muddled when there's so many voices. And it's very, very important to learn to maintain our focus. The world says, eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. The Scripture says that too, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He saved you. He'll get you to the end. Keep your eyes on him. Stay focused. Looking unto Jesus. The Scripture calls us to that. So there's going to be distractions that come in our life. Some of them are really good distractions. Sometimes it's things that are good that are the thieves of the things that are best. Right? It's not always sinful, wrong, iniquitous things that are distracting. Sometimes it's very good things. But that does not become an excuse to take our eyes off the prize. To not stay committed to what the Lord has called us to do. It's so important for us to understand that. And this morning, I'll give you an example. Trash day is on Thursday, so I always make sure the trash is by the roadside on Wednesday, because it runs early at our house on Thursday. And so this morning I got ready. I had to run out of town to help my mom with something today for a while. And so I got everything together. I got in my car. And so what I do, I got an SUV. I just take my garbage bags and I put them up on top of my car. And then I stop at the end of the driveway where I keep my trash cans and put them in there. I found that that's a lot easier than having to push that thing 600 feet to the road. So I had 3 bags of trash and a box on my car. I back out of the garage and then I stop and I hook my phone up because I want to get a podcast in so I can listen to my podcast while I'm driving down the road. So I can become easily distracted at times. So I got all wound up and getting that right. And I'm going out my driveway. I look left. I look right on County Road 27. And I take off. About a quarter, half mile down the road, I heard something. And I looked and I saw one trash bag fly off. And I realized, oh, no. So I had to do a U-ey in the road, go back, put my flashers on, get out, start picking up trash and trash bags. And cars are coming, so I couldn't put it back on top of the car. So I popped my trunk and put it in the back. And one of those trash bags, oh, Lord. Woo! I don't know what we threw away, but it died a long time ago. Okay, so it was bad. Now my car is like wrecked with this ruinous smell. And I'm going down, I'm stopping, I'm picking up trash, and I'm stopping, I'm picking up trash. And it's all over me, and it's in my car. And so I go put it in it. And Anyway, I got distracted. All that happened because I got distracted. Most of us have those times when we find ourselves knowing what we're supposed to do, where we're going. We start out right, doing good. We get distracted and end up in the middle of a mess because we became distracted. Now, I was able to fix that pretty easy this morning, but sometimes it takes a while to restore and get things back in a line. Don't become distracted. I was thinking about fishermen and how they present fish with something that looks real, but it's not. Enemy distracts us that way. Shiny, flashy. Or they hit the water and splash, and that old bass thinks a frog's just jumped in or something, and he goes for it, you know, gulp, gulp. And he thinks he's going to get him a big meal and doesn't realize he's going to be the meal, you know. And that's what the enemy wants to do with us, to distract us, to pull our attention away from what's true and what's real to something that's a facade. Facade. You remember the old beer commercial where you got the guys down at the beach and around the fire, and it says, "It doesn't get any better than this." You remember that? Well, truth is, for some folks, it doesn't. It's way downhill after that. Absolutely. You know, I'm just saying, the enemy will seduce, he'll thrill us and kill us. He'll fascinate us so he can assassinate us. As I used to hear my Hell's Angels friend Gene Culver say. So don't become distracted. Some people want to distract you by luring you away with provocative words. Try to get you into... Do you realize there's a lot of haters and debaters today? Have you noticed that? I just want to caution everyone about that. Don't get pulled into... If somebody's already created a big pool of strife, why dive in? I mean, I'm not saying there's not a legitimate place to discuss things. But a lot of discussing just become just cussing in today's world. People become angry and bitter, and that can become all of that. And say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You need to do this. You need to. All of that can become a distraction where it begins to influence our ability to hear the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, we might even think we're hearing the Holy Spirit in the middle of all that, and it's not. We just have to be careful. Every one of us. No exemptions here. Because you can't necessarily live today on yesterday's victories. You know, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Distractions, discouragements. The enemy wants to rain on your parade. Put the elbow drop on your dreams. Shuts the door in your face. Just to discourage you. Don't allow that to happen. Disagreements. Let me take a moment on this one. We are going to have disagreements with people. That's one thing I love about our Constitution, is the freedom of speech. To have the ability to express what you believe, express how you feel without fear of recrimination. Now, there's limitations. You can't stand up in a crowded meeting, a crowded room full of people and yell fire when there's not one, because you're doing something that's going to cause other people to be harmed. So that's not allowed. But you do have the freedom to speech. And a lot of that's being threatened. I do realize that. But particularly right now, there are so many disagreements, even among believers. I mean, where people have really strong opinions. What COVID is, what COVID isn't. To be vaccinated, not to be vaccinated. All these kind of things. Friendships, I've been separated over these. I've had ministers tell me because of a stance they were taking, they've not been invited back. And we have to learn how to properly disagree with people. Sometimes people will disagree with you because they have a different focus or a different perspective than you do. Sometimes someone may not understand what you're doing because God's called them to do a different thing. I've learned that in the years of ministry, that when somebody's feeling called by the Lord to do something, just because you felt a certain way when He called you to do something doesn't mean they're going to feel just like that. Or, oh, if you're feeling that, then He's calling you to preach. And not realizing that that call could go in so many different ways. The Holy Spirit lets us know. We have to learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people will disagree with us because they've got a different focus than we do. And sometimes that's fine. Sometimes you might be right, they might be wrong. Sometimes they might be right, you might be wrong. Sometimes you both may be wrong. And yes, there could be times when you're both right. You are doing what God called you to do, and they are doing what God called them to do. So you don't have to fight because you're both being obedient. Sometimes, we just need to understand this. I'm often asked to participate in other things that other people are called to do. And sometimes that's wonderful. Yes, I want to be there. I want to be. But sometimes to do that, I would have to say no to what God has called me to do. And some people don't understand that at times. But we have to understand this. I believe that's true of congregations. I believe that, let me give you an example. For years now, Pastor Greg and the people over at First Assembly, God has blessed them marvelously with their productions, like during Easter and the 4th of July. I mean, it's like they have an anointing on them for that. But we haven't been called to that. And that's wonderful. What if everybody decided to do that, and then on the 4th of July, you got 15 different places you've asked. You see what I'm saying? I think in a city, God can equip congregations. Now, we're all called, big picture, to do the same thing. But what that looks like lived out in our lives and through our congregations will have a little different feel to it, a different look. So sometimes we just have a different focus. And we have to learn that when you may not feel like you're supposed to participate in something that someone else is doing, and you don't know why, don't just assume that something's wrong with that. You know, that's just being paranoid or choosing to be negative. Realize, you know, bless what's going on there. But just be faithful to what God's leading you to do. And this area is where we have to really be careful, not let that religious spirit get in. Because the enemy subtly anywhere he's working, he's trying to divide and separate and isolate and annihilate. So, others, however, getting back to general disagreements, sometimes others will disagree with you because they will fight over anything and everything that doesn't square up with how they feel and what they believe. In other words, if you don't see it like they see it and believe it like they believe it, then you're just wrong. Now, I am the first one to say that there are some things that we better believe the right thing on. Amen. Now, we want to believe the right thing about everything, but I'm just saying there's like we read in 1 John several times. If you don't believe Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that He was a real human being, that God's Spirit brought about through the womb of a virgin, then You're outside the boundaries of what the Bible describes as being Christian. Okay? So I'm not talking about those kind of disagreements. You stand and you fight for those truths. But I'm saying there's some people, they're not happy unless they are fighting. There are some ministries, and I say this kindly, that it's as if they are called to provoke and create conflict. Or I need to restate that. They feel they are called to do that. But whatever you're called to, whatever you're engaged in, you don't ever get an exemption to operate without the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have to discern between the Holy Spirit and a call to stand, the Holy Spirit's call to stand firm and fight, and the religious spirit, which tells us we have to fight each and every fight. Not every battle is to be fought. Not every hill is worth dying on. The enemy wants to keep you in his boxing ring so you can't do the Holy Ghost thing. Think about that. He wants to keep you in his boxing ring so you can't do the Holy Ghost. In other words, if you let the enemy choose where the battles are going to be, he's going to keep you plenty busy. Jesus dealt with the enemy when the enemy got in between him and what God's will for his life was. And he dealt with him. But he didn't start the day licking his chops to try to find a demon somewhere. He started the day, Father, what do you want me to do? I only do what I see my Father doing. He didn't say, I only do what I see the devil doing. So the religious spirit can blind us if we are not careful. Now let's talk about our fight, since we're on fighting ground here. Your faith, your focus, and now your fight. When you get this direction from the Lord and you start stepping out and walking in faith, there's going to be distractions and discouragements that come to try to cause you to lose your focus. And the enemy is going to be working in that. So just think about for a moment, what accusations, what distractions, what points of unrighteous anger has the enemy been trying to leverage your life with? Because our first level of fighting is to win the battle within. I'm not going to be controlled by my emotions. I'm not going to be led by what the enemy's doing. I'm not going to live my life to live up to someone else's expectation. Winning the battle within, that's where the first level of fighting is, knowing who we are in Christ. Because again, I keep mentioning the religious spirit tonight, because I believe the religious spirit is at work in a lot of ways. And there can be the temptation to perform, to say what you think people want you to say. And it's important that we win that first line of warfare on the battle within. So what accusations, distractions, angry points is the enemy trying to pull you away from the true battle into the battle of his choosing? Because if he can get you off over here on this peripheral battle that he's stirring up, then you're not in the middle of the battle you've been called to fight. Our fight is won by staying in the place of faith and focusing on what God is saying and obeying what God is saying. That's where we fight the good fight of faith. That way the Holy Spirit is leading, our eyes are on Jesus, and we're fulfilling Father's purpose. And we won't let this over here or that over there to dissuade us, distract us, derail us, ultimately destroy us. And to do that, to stay focused and to fight the right way, you need to remember a couple of very simple scriptures. Love covers a multitude of sin. Remember that. This love, you don't have to engage. You don't have to prove a point. Just love. That doesn't mean you're not standing. Do what the Lord leads you to do. Do it with love. Another one. As much as lies within you, live at peace with all men. Some people won't let you be at peace with them. So you may have to unfriend them. The last thing I need to finish. Your faith, your focus, your fight. Let me talk a moment about your freedom. And the last scripture that I'll share is out of John 8, 31, 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the goal of hearing the word, staying focused, fight, to be able to live in true freedom. True freedom's not the freedom to do what you want to do. True freedom's the freedom to do what you ought to do. The freedom to live the way God created you to live. That's true freedom. That's a freedom beyond any freedoms even our civil government can get us. And I'm very grateful for those. And I'm very honoring toward those who have shed their blood for us to have the freedom we do in our nation. And we need to pray and do everything we can righteously to guard those freedoms. But having said that, the freedom of which I'm speaking now is above and beyond that. The freedom of which I speak, when death comes, it can't take it away from you. When you step into eternity, nothing there will take it from you. Whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. So, have you had, in the last week, have you been stressed out about something? I recently was just getting stressed out about I was in the middle of several things today. I had a moderate level of stressful activity associated with them. But my mom got lost in her vehicle. And so I ended up going down into Walker County, just trying to find her. Dealing with some city stuff related to our new building so it can move in. Just some stuff like that. So I was sitting there. This was before I left this morning. And before my mom got lost, by the way. I just noticed that I felt like my blood pressure was high. So I took my blood pressure, and it was like, whoa. Well, what the first thing, you know, and I'm not taking any medicines for it or anything, and it just came to me, you know what? I need to calm myself. I'm just sharing this practically. So I decided I'm going to take 2 to 3 minutes, and I'm going to relax, and I'm thinking of what Isaiah said. Isaiah wrote and said, he will, and let me put it in terms that's easy to understand. He, that is God, will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is focused or stayed on him. Okay? So to be able to push all the distractions out of your mind. And then, you know, the breath of life, that's really important. I just started taking deep inhale through my nose, breathing out through my mouth. And I purposely, I'm not trying to think of anything else but the Lord. As a matter of fact, I was just, Abba. Doing some of that, and just for 2 to 3 minutes. And my blood pressure, my first reading was like 158 over 90 something. And on one arm, the other one was like 130 something over 90 something. I did that for 3 minutes. the Scripture, bringing my spirit, soul, and body into what I call bringing my being into a place of peace, my whole spirit, soul, and body. And after 2-3 minutes, I checked my blood pressure again. It was 106 over 72. It was just not dealing with what was happening around me and re-anchoring and utilizing the power of God's Word and trying to bring myself in subjection to that. I'm not saying that you may not need blood pressure. Don't draw a wrong conclusion from what I just said. I just said, in that moment, I just felt the Holy Spirit like, no, this is what's really going on. The enemy wants all this kind of stuff to shut us down, cause us to lose our momentum, so that we won't see God's purposes fulfilled in our life. We won't see the ground gained that we can see gained. We can't see the advance that we could see otherwise. Does that make sense? So would you stand with me as a sign of agreement that all of us will endeavor to be a person of faith, stay focused, keep our eyes where they need to be kept, fight in the right way, the right battle, and live free from all the gunk, the junk, whatever you want to call it. To live the unbridled, liberated Christ life. Father God, tonight as pastor of this congregation, I ask this for this people, Lord. For myself, for my brothers and sisters and friends here tonight. Holy Spirit of God, may your peace come upon us. May we shake off the attachments that have built up on us in the middle of all the stuff going on in culture. May we live fully and freely for you, Lord Jesus. May we say yes when we need to say yes. May we say no when we need to say no. You're worthy of it all, Jesus. Would you just take a real deep breath in with me and breathe out slowly. Again, breathe out slowly. Just keep doing that for a moment. Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. In Jesus' name, go in peace. If you need prayer, there will be some of us here to pray with you. Just feel free to come up.
Your healing is the grace of the Savior. With the heart of a father, and you're all we need.
Yes, I did find my mom. Thank you, Robin.
With the hands of the healer, with the power of your spirit, and you're all we need. At the mention of your name, every chain will